This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in today and watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. Coming up in this hour, college basketball card that we have tonight, along with the three on the slate in the NBA. Thomas Gable from the Borgata in Atlantic City. Get his thoughts on the gold medal game yesterday and how the betting handle was on the East Coast with an 8 a.m. start. And also, he's big into college hoops. What he might like tonight, the good, the bad, and the ugly in 45, Pauly. And as a former goalie who played at a very high level many years ago, but it's still nonetheless very high level, did you kind of see some of yourself in Connor Hellebuyck yesterday as he stood on his head to help the Americans win gold?
No.
You didn't?
No.
You think that could have been me?
I can't. Well, you know, people saying that's it. You can't criticize him anymore. He finally won a big game. I know with the issues he's had on the road, I'd like to see him play well in a big road playoff game.
That's fair.
But certainly what he did here, the proven he can do it on with the bright lights, and he's the reason they won. 41 saves and the paddle save and how well he played. It was incredible to watch and for him to get it done. And I thought we had the goaltending edge, and a lot of people disagreed with me. But for him to go out there and stand on his head like that, and I know Doc Emmerich always talked about it. Eddie Olczyk referenced it on the broadcast mm-hmm. that if your goalie plays like that, you're going to have a chance, and anything can happen. And I know they're only a small favorite, but Canada was expected to win. But the save on Taves and other great saves he made, it was just, you know, to win 2-1, to think you can hold Canada and all those great players to one goal was astonishing. And to kill off the 5-on-3.
Oh, no kidding.
And 18 for 18 on the penalty kill. A-plus job. So yeah. The criticism and complaints about the roster and this guy should have been on and this guy, everything worked out, and it's great. And I know I'll talk to Zig coming up, but Eddie made the comment, in 1980, after that win, you had so many young kids who said, I want to play hockey. And it led to so many kids that became hockey players. Does this happen again? I don't know. I'm not so sure. Because we're just so on to the next and short attention span. And yeah. Oh, there's an incident in Mexico, or this person passed away, or you know, another event. Somebody says something stupid or whatever. It's just, number one, hockey's very expensive to play. The skates, the sticks, everything you have to go through. The travel, no doubt. But that was interesting that Eddie pointed that out. What happened in 1980, and now we'll see what happens to the day, 46 years later.
Eddie O said at the end of the broadcast yesterday when the game was over with, Connor Hellebuyck was the reason why they won the game yesterday. I think he said he's the only reason why they won the game. I'll have more on that coming up in the good, the bad, the ugly in about 45 minutes. So now spinning forward to Wednesday again, they don't have much time to get back here, man. And then there's a big snowstorm in the Northeast again.
They flew into Miami. Right? Yeah.
They had to adjust their plans instead of flying back to New York. They're into Miami, you know, trying to get around that. So here's what you need to look out for. The teams with the most players now that were in the Olympics coming back. Florida had 10. The Avs, Wild, Lightning, Golden Knights had 8. Bruins, Devils, Stars, 7. The Senators, Hurricanes, Kings, Blues, Canucks had 5-6 each. Wednesday night, Sabres at Devils. Hello, Jack Hughes. Like, what is going on here with the new American hero here? Does he play in the game?
Good question. Does Hellebuyck even play?
Does Hellebuyck play that night for the Jets? They're on the road against the Canucks.
Yeah.
The Maple Leafs play the Lightning. The Avs play at the Mammoth. The Golden Knights play at the Kings. I know that Dave and Jensen, everybody's been talking about this, but VSiN by the books are talking about it earlier today. And Jason chimed in on X by saying, I'm hesitant to fade teams based on Olympic fatigue. They may be tired, but they are on peak performance versus players that haven't been playing for over 2 weeks. How do you quantify rust versus fatigue? And do coaches give Olympians as much ice time? No bet for him when it looks like simply just, I've got to fade the teams that have the most Olympic players. I think that's kind of fair.
I think it's an excellent tweet, and he brings up great points. It also goes back to, what do you want to do with the total? Is it going to be sloppy, where you're off and there's going to be mistakes? Or is it just going to be, well, we're rusty, but maybe it's not good hockey and there's sloppy passes, but it doesn't lead to goals? and we're just out there, you know, skating and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I'll give you this,
too. It's a tough question. But I also like his point where rust against fatigue, but also I've been playing for 2 weeks.
That's right.
You haven't, but you've been sitting at home
mm-hmm.
eating donuts.
Yep. So, chugging beer.
Yeah.
So last year after the Four Nations, when you look at the goalies here, Hellebuck and Binnington, Hellebuck's first three games back after the Four Nations, 3 goals allowed, 74 shots, .959 save percentage. Binnington, first three games back, 4 goals allowed, 82 shots, .951 save percentage. Is there something there to where you were asking the question, does Hellebuck play? Will Binnington play in the first game back for the Blues? If they do, are they going to be dialed in just because they've been on the ice so much now over the last 2 weeks and the opposing goalies have not?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's something to that. An angle to watch out for.
Because the NBA, it was nothing but slow starts, a lot of misses, Brick City and unders.
Yeah.
That's how it started in the NBA. Do we have unders in the NHL? I think there's too much going on. I don't know how to handicap it.
There's also this first game back after the Four Nations last year with favorites. On the puck line, they were 3-10, 5-8 straight up. Underdogs plus 1.5 goals were 10-3. First game back after the 2014 Olympics. Favorites were 8-8 straight up, 3-13 on the puck line. So dogs plus 1.5 were 13-3. Thanks to Scott Seidenberg, betterday.com for those numbers. That's remarkable, mm-hmm. but it makes sense though.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is maybe a correlation there between first game back for NHL as to what it was with the NBA that you just referenced there.
Well, it'll be good to have him back Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought this up Friday. It was great to get Eddie O on the show right after the semifinal win over Slovakia. You asked him, because everyone assumed it was Canada, but who had the edge if the gold medal game went to overtime?
Well, don't forget, in 2010, it was 4-on-4 at that time. They played 4-on-4.
It was different then, yep.
So, exactly. So now, you know, look, I think you have to give the edge to the Canadians just because of the McDavid, MacKinnon, mm-hmm. Makar trio. But I will say is that when you can put out Quint Hughes, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, you're not that far off, to be honest with you. And it becomes a puck possession game in overtime. If you win the opening faceoff, it's almost like the old football rule, right? A couple of years ago there when the Chiefs got the ball and nobody could get it back because they scored. It's almost like that in hockey now. It's almost like, how many times have you seen it? I think I've seen it at least 3 or 4 times this year in the NHL where a team wins the opening faceoff in overtime, the other team never touches it, and they end up losing. It's almost very similar to that analogy.
Well, and Makar gambled. He lost, and that led to the game-winning goal by Hughes. If he makes that play, it's going to be a 2-on-0, and it's him and McDavid. Good luck. And then they're late to come back. MacKinnon doesn't play the puck. Hughes has the great shot, and they win 2-1.
Yep.
So it's just fluky how it worked out, and the breaks went their way, and Hellebuck was phenomenal. But if you tell me, I'd say Canada's going to win in overtime.
Oh, me too.
Just because of the three studs that they have right there on the ice.
Yeah.
But that's why we love sports, and I loved what Eddie said with us and also what he said on the broadcast about, I'm an American, I know I'm supposed to call it straight, but growing up playing for the Blackhawks, USA as a kid, I think he was the number one overall pick. He's going to root for USA, and it's going to be emotional for him if they win.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great...
46 years to the day, you can't make it up.
No kidding. And so when he told us that on Friday, that's how the show closed on Friday. I was like, oh man, I got some goosebumps here listening to that. And when Matt Boldy scored that first goal, he wasn't lying. I mean, the excitement level from Eddie Olczyk on the broadcast was off the charts, but I still think he was a total pro about it. It wasn't like a local football announcer, like for the Steelers, when they would score a touchdown and he goes hog wild, you know, for 8 mm-hmm. minutes. It was, but you could tell there was the level was ratcheted up a little bit there by Eddie O when he was on the broadcast because it meant so much to him as well.
Well, they got to be kicking themselves, no doubt. I mean, again, look at this picture is so good. And this is just it's an all-time shot. The Hellebuck save with the paddle on Taves. You think it's open net, that's it.
Mm.
Oh, but he has the presence of mind. It's just, well, one last shot here. Let me just put the stick down. And oh, how did he save that? How did MacKinnon miss the wide open net with 10 minutes left?
And it's not like a team like the Colorado Avalanche need any more motivation. But sometimes, you know, it can be a long season. You go through low points like anybody else. and they've been, you know, sky high pretty much the entire year. They did dip a little bit before the Olympics, but with McKinnon being salty afterwards, immediately saying the better team lost, and Makar on the Canadian side as well with the Colorado Avalanche, maybe this is going to light a little bit of a fire on that team. And they just come, they cruise, and they absolutely go hog wild through the Western Conference from now until the end of the season. And this, you know, we're going to look back and they're going to then comment on that and say, yeah, that really sparked us because we got a little bit lazy there.
How do you complain about the format if you're Canada when you had a big advantage and then you won the last matchup for the gold when it was 4-on-4 and you scored in overtime?
Yeah.
But now you got a problem with 3-on-3 because you lost.
You know what the comparison might be? It's like we've heard these dream teams in the NBA and the NFL before, and whenever anybody assigns that label to a team because of an offseason, you're like, okay, they're not going to do well, and they don't. This is kind of like maybe they assume that they just put together the dream team because, Paulie, to your point, Jeff Davis, others, like they were never playing like this team that was supposed to be a runaway favorite in any of these games.
Should have lost to Finland.
Sure.
Could have lost the game before in overtime. Love upside. Get the app. Promo code NETWORK. That's your code NETWORK. Here's how it works. Just open the app, claim a cashback offer at a location near you, shop as usual, and then earn real cash back. It's that easy. Join the over 5 million people that use it already. One of the easiest ways to save on everyday purchases, groceries, gas, dining, stuff you buy every day. Download the free Upside app. Promo code NETWORK. Get 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank. Offers vary by user and location. Upside.com for detail. Make your purchases and save. Big savings. Upside.com.
Tonight's Hoops card is up next. A moneyline parlay needs to be part of the betting conversation every day until the end of the season. I think we can include a couple of college plays tonight. I'll explain coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Well, here we go again. Kansas at home. Big Monday. Small dog on top of everything else. Awful loss. Aaron Peterson, the biggest story in college basketball now for weeks. And his dad yesterday on Instagram put up a story that said it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Yep. Everything he does now with football being done is such a big story. You know, we played the Simmons-Zach Lowe audio earlier about, I don't know if he can be number one pick anymore. We'll do it in 20 minutes with the picture that got millions of views on social media with the last game. But there's the 40 in a row on Big Monday at home. They haven't lost back-to-back home games since 1989. And it's the, you know, people have thrown it out there. Are they better without him? But it's you look at the numbers on-off with Peterson, and just like the Oklahoma State game, okay, that's it. I hit a shot. That's enough. And the timing is perfect. On the front page of ESPN.com, Bill Self saying, you know, it'd be nice to try to coach you. And how this just been a bizarre season, and Vital calling for a divorce, and both parties to go their separate ways, but we're too deep in it now. But for Boozer to play 34-plus minutes, 15 games, Peterson's done it once. And a great job by DeBancha, which they probably told him to say it. He goes out, plays every minute or almost every minute in the big win at home against Iowa State. And afterwards says, whatever they need, I'll play every minute if they need me to, whatever the coach wants. And now Peterson's down to $1.20 to go number one overall at FanDuel.
Yeah, College Basketball Analytics, a great site to do your handicapping on a daily basis. So you can look at on-off numbers for every player in the country. And when you put in Darren Peterson's name, here you go. The net rating with him on the court is 10.6. The net rating with him off, 13.5. So they're 3 points better with him off the court. Offensively, it's a 115.2 rating compared to 114.1. They are 1.1 points better with him on the court, but they are 4 points worse with him when he's on the court. So 4 points better when he's off. Mm-hmm. Overall, the numbers don't lie again this year, and he's missed 11 games already to this point. Now,
wow,
there is, or at least part of 11 games. So, and it's all the big games, by the way, for the most part, right?
Well, we just did this a couple weeks ago with the Arizona game.
We did.
Is he? Oh, he's out. Oh, he doesn't feel well. Okay.
At some point, and I think maybe today is that day where, again, the agent has played a big role in all of this. It's going to have to, like, the noise has to hit home. Everybody's talking about this, pal. And you need to really knock it off for the most part and stop asking out of games or coming up with the, look, if you have the flu, then you got the flu. I'm not going to say that you don't. I mean, the flu sucks. Only Michael Jordan basically can play at that level when he has the flu. But if you have the flu, you know, 5 minutes before the game, don't tell people that all of a sudden I got the flu, I can't go. Come on, man. It looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a terrible look overall. So maybe you can go out there and prove everybody wrong now that's doubting you and all this criticism, and you could pick it up over the final 5 weeks of the season, whatever we have left, 6 weeks. And because I think if that dude does play 30 plus minutes starting tonight for the rest of the season, they can win it all. I think he's that good. And then he could, by the way, he might flip that whole number one pick narrative as well. But if something happens tonight again where it's a game, you know, it comes 10 minutes before tip time, I can't go again. It's only going to, the hole can only get so deep here, yeah, man.
I think they respond. I think they win.
So do I.
I also, they were embarrassed on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to lose, but they got embarrassed by Cincinnati. So the big Monday record, they don't lose. He doesn't lose back-to-back home games, all of that. And that funky line, right? Our producer Luke has hit six in a row, and he's hitting 78% with the angle. Every spread was like +1, +2 over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, 1.5 again with Houston. It's like Humans always says. They're begging you to take the favorite, and the dog gets there, it seems, all the time.
Yep, they're also 6-0 off a loss this season. I think it sets up beautifully here for Self to really have his troops. Now, here's the flip side. Houston is a very good basketball team. They've lost two straight. And if you go back to last Monday on Big Monday, how they blew that game against Iowa State, I still don't know. They had that team absolutely dead and buried in Ames, and they fell apart, and Iowa State got rocking and rolling, and they won it by three. And they covered that game, by the way.
UConn's going to get a one seed now.
Are they going to luck into one here?
Yeah.
Well, Duke's now the number one overall
That's right.
in the country. And that was pretty impressive what they did.
Mm-hmm. I also like Carolina. Different team at home, better team at home. Louisville takes a ton of threes, third most in the country. And when they went up against the big boys, you know, and that great, I retweeted at VSiN Insights, when they go against those quad one teams, it's been ugly. Double-digit losses here. So, and they're taking money here, up to 3.5 in some spots. But I gotta take Carolina in this other big game tonight, too.
Yep. And there are two other games tonight that part of the money line parlay conversation. I think you can have it in college basketball. Again, upsets happen. Money line parlays aren't for everybody. I get that. But Stephen F. Austin, they're really good at covering numbers on the year. Didn't get it done over the weekend, but they're a huge favorite tonight against New Orleans. The Lumberjacks are 20th in the country in points per possession allowed on defense. They slow it down. They're about number 280 overall in tempo. New Orleans goes much faster, but they turn the ball over a lot. They're 30th in turnovers per possession on offense. And Stephen F. Austin is a monster on the defensive glass. They get 75% of missed shots. Teaming them up, they're 11.5 point favorites here. They're -1,000 on the money line.
You don't want to see them in March.
No, I would not.
Nope. They got a hell of a team. And will they beat McNeese in the conference tournament? They split during the regular season, but the Lumberjacks are tough. But then again, they win. They clinch the conference and the one seed, share of the lead. But they won and didn't cover Saturday, so it's a lot of points. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it's 11, you know, 10, 9-point win, something like that. The other thing, I'll jump the gun here. This is so silly, and this year really, if you looked at it, how it jumps out. We're playing 32 games just to seed, because there's no way these leagues are getting at-large bids. Austin Peay, conference record, 15-1. Liberty, 15-1. Stephen F. Austin, 18-1.
Mm-hmm.
Navy, 15-1. High Point, 15-1. North Dakota State, 13-1. Nope. Sorry, guys. Go out there and win some conference tournament to get the automatic bid when there'll be hardly anyone watching, and just to get that game on ESPN, that championship game, it pales in comparison to how much money the conference makes if I send my best team, the most deserving team that proved it for 30 games,
yep,
that can win a couple games in the tournament, and not to mention change the whole landscape of a conference or a school. Hello, Gulf Coast. Hello, St. Peter's, whatever.
Yeah, imagine if all those teams actually do get in.
Yeah.
That'll make the madness even better, because it's going to be, that means that we're going to have better 15, 14, 13 seeds. If I put a prop up right now, how many of those teams will actually lose and not make it of 1.5? Would you go over?
I'd go over, but there's going to be a lot of upsets, though. And that's just, this year jumps out where there's so many teams. We only got two games left in most of these conferences. The first bits go out next weekend.
Yeah, because of the new calendar and the football getting pushed back. Again, all of a sudden, March is here.
I mean, there's like one, two, three. There's seven leagues, and there's more I left out. But some of them might get I'm talking like West Coast, Mountain West. But you're 15-1, 16-1 in league. Mm-hmm. Like we just did this for 3 months.
I know
who the best team is. They proved it. Nah, doesn't matter.
How confident are you in the Memphis Grizzlies tonight just to win the game outright?
It's a fate of Sacramento.
Okay.
It's Sacramento doing the right thing in their case, 16 in a row. And if it happens to be competitive, taking guys out or putting in a funky lineup that you know is not going to work, and you'll get outscored. And just knowing that the other team is better, like we saw Saturday night when it was a two-point game late in the third quarter, and then, okay, let's get down to business, and the Spurs ran them out. Beat them by 20 because they're a horrible fourth quarter ATS team also.
So here's the three-team moneyline parlay then. It would be Stephen F. Austin and McNeese in college along with Memphis in the NBA. Get you some plus money on that. You trust it enough?
Yeah. Or go lower and throw the Rockets on there? They the Jazz too?
Yeah.
This Rockets thing's crazy. They should have a much better record than what they are. And they pointed it out several times on the game Saturday night. Their offensive rebounding rate is 40%. It's the best since the 95 Mavs.
And they're great defensively.
You better have a better record than what you, right? If you're grabbing 4 out of every 10 offensive rebounds.
I think their problem has been they're so big, and the issue going into the season was who's going to play point guard.
Yeah,
The depth at guard has not been there for Houston. That's been an issue the entire year.
All right. Olympics over. March Madness. And then your big boy, the World Cup. Larger than life experience here at Circa. One lucky winner gets a 2-night stay, a VIP cabana for the games at Stadium Swim, $500 in credit, $250 in food and beverage, limo transportation, and cocktails at Legacy Club. Enter now and kick off the World Soccer Championship with the World Cup at Circa Resort and Casino. Visit CircaLasVegas.com. 5 weeks of pure insanity. Learn more at CircaLasVegas.com. Enter the World Cup giveaway.
Thomas Gable on the program coming up next. The man in charge, race and sports book at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Yesterday's gold medal game had a 5 a.m. Pacific time start, but 8 a.m. on the East Coast. How popular was the biggest game of the day in terms of betting as it was tucked away at such an early time? We'll ask him that. Coming up on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back. We're live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. We go back to the East Coast now as Thomas Gable joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. He's in charge of the race and sports book at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Thomas, thanks for the time as always. How are you today?
Doing well. Snowed in here at the Borgata, but we're hanging in there.
How much snow are we talking?
I haven't looked outside yet. I haven't left since yesterday morning, but I think we're probably over 18 inches here.
That sounds terrific.
Hang in, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay. So I talked to a couple of different, bookmakers out here and I asked them the same question about the handle on the hockey game yesterday, because it's 5 a.m. out here, obviously on the West Coast. One said it was pretty strong, obviously could have been better if it was later in the day. The other responded by saying it was the marquee event of the day, probably the weekend. It flopped maybe a little bit because it was later in the day, would have been much better. You're 3 hours later in the morning than us. How was the handle there at the Borgata?
I thought it was great. I think certainly if it was later in the day, that would have helped everybody. There's no doubt about that. But in terms of just the interest level, certainly the marquee event of not only the day, I think the weekend for sure. And, you know, we had obviously this snowstorm was supposed to hit the East Coast starting yesterday afternoon. But I didn't know if people were going to stick around or not or try to get out of town. But it was that was not the case. People were here. It was a very patriotic crowd. Certainly kind of one-sided action. Everybody was backing America. Whether you could get them at, you know, even money or even a little bit better than even money in some places. So it was a great game to watch. Crowd was very lively and into it. And, you know, afterwards, I thought it was a very emotional ending too, not just because the United States wins gold for the first time in 46 years, but locally here with what they did with Johnny Gaudreau and, you know, holding up his jersey at the end and bringing out the kids on the ice. That family is obviously from South Jersey here. I mean, hell, we have employees here who know the family. So it was a pretty emotional thing here. And, you know, obviously every day we get games that, you know, you're either happy or you're sad or mad or whatever because you win or lose or you lose money or win money on it. But this was a different type of emotion that people were feeling, I think, yesterday watching that game. And it was just a cool scene overall and nice to be a part of.
Do you remember where you were in 1980?
Probably in a playpen somewhere in my house.
Okay. Right? Isn't that incredible how it's the last time we won gold? I mean, I don't remember anything about the game. I was like you, a young lad. But going back, the game was on tape delay, and they're like, oh, what the hell? Put Al Michaels on the game. He called like two hockey games in his life up to that point.
Pretty incredible when you go back and watch that game. And certainly I have seen it a couple times in my lifetime, but obviously no memory of it in real time. But, yeah, I mean, to be this 46 years to the day that happened is pretty cool and obviously made a lot of Americans proud to be a part of that and certainly stung for our Canadian friends up there and but I'm sure you know there's obviously a lot of good natured ribbing going back and forth between friends but I mean it was certainly an emotional end for that.
Yep. So you're great at college basketball. There's been some movement here on the Louisville game. What do you think of Carolina catching 3.5 at home?
Yeah, both teams coming in here 9-5 in the ACC, and I was a little surprised that Syracuse was taking money on Saturday against UNC. At one point, they moved to the favorite in some spots. I had that game, UNC, 2.5, so it was a no-brainer for me to bet the Tar Heels, and they ended up winning that game pretty easy fashion, but certainly a much better opponent coming in here in Louisville. They're coming off a nice win against Georgia Tech on Saturday, but UNC is undefeated at home this season. And, you know, I think the big thing on Saturday was Henry Vasseur was back for the Tar Heels, and his interior presence makes a big difference. They weren't taking as many threes as you saw in that game when they played NC State, when both Vasseur and Caleb Wilson were both out on that one. I thought their shot selection was a lot better on Saturday, and they weren't playing iso ball on offense. And, you know, if they run things through their big man and he gets touches, the offense just flows a lot better. Obviously, they'll have to stop Mikael Brown Jr., who has been really playing well lately for the Cardinals. He scored 25-plus in three of his last four games. Only a freshman, but he means a ton to this Louisville team. And, you know, if you look at the ACC in general, in terms of no one's beating Duke. I think everyone knows that, unless there's a big upset that happens in the conference tournament. But Louisville can play with a lot of teams in the country. Maybe not the elite of the elite, but offensively they can score with the best. They just have to cut down on the turnovers that's been plaguing them recently. And I still question the defense overall, especially against the better opponents. If you separate out some of their defensive numbers, while the overall defensive efficiency number looks good on paper, when you drill down, you'll find that a lot has been built on the back of weaker opponents. And it gets much worse when they're playing quad one competition.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, I'm not sure Louisville has what it takes to make a deep run come March, but with no Caleb Wilson here again for UNC, I'm going to stay away rather than take the points with the Tar Heels. To me, there's only two to say. It's either you're going to take the points with the Tar Heels now at 3.5 or stay away. And I'm leaning towards staying away here tonight.
Where are you at currently with the Kansas number as they're hosting a very good Houston team, although they're on a 2-game losing streak going into this game tonight? And how difficult is it to kind of like try to book these numbers against such good competition, not knowing what Darren Peterson's going to do on a game to game basis?
Yeah, that's the thing. So we're at 2 right now for this game. Still a lot of 1.5s out there that are juiced. But you're even seeing some 2.5s now pop. But in this one, I think you hit the nail on the head, and that's with Peterson. You know, when you're looking at Houston, they've kind of now reached the end of this really tough 3-game stretch on the schedule that started last Monday night, going to Iowa State. That ended in a 3-point loss. Obviously just lost on Saturday when they were taking money against Arizona at home, but came out flat and just never able to fully take control of that game. And Houston fell into that common phase that we have seen in previous years from them, where they can go long stretches without a field goal or even scoring at all. And uncharacteristically, they were also turning the ball over in that game. So, it ended with a good result for us, though, to have Arizona win that game outright. But if you look at both teams, the more perplexing result on Saturday was Kansas losing at home to Cincinnati.
Oh yeah,
I don't think many saw that coming. It certainly was setting up as a possible look-ahead spot for Kansas. So I personally stayed away from the game because I wasn't confident taking the points with Cincy. But again, ended up being another good result for the house with that huge upset. Kansas, they're just such an enigma this year, really, due to the lack of availability of Darren Peterson. They've shown a number of times they can win without him, but no question, if you're back in this program, you want him on the floor. I just don't know how you can trust if he will be available or even how many minutes he will give you if he does play. I personally, again, I can't see investing in them come tournament time. We know how good they are at home. I make this game Houston 1.5 with Peterson playing. It's a no play for me on the side here. I'd have to look at the under if I was going to do anything with this game. Look at the under on the total. But, I mean, obviously Kansas has a great record at home. They're very tough at home. But to me, the number's a no play.
Thomas, about a minute left here. It's a small card, but some other good, like, lower league teams are in action tonight. Do you like anything overall?
Yeah, obviously the Southland has a couple of teams going, and one game that I have an eye on that I'm probably going to be getting involved in is McNeese laying the points there against UT Rio Grande Valley. I'm going to lay it there with McNeese.
Okay. Sounds good.
Be safe.
Hey, have fun shoveling, okay?
Yeah, can't wait to get home and have to shovel out my driveway just to be able to pull in.
So, sounds amazing. Thanks, Thomas. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
I got a I got a great text from someone who's in New York right now, and the snow is so high, they go out and they can put their beer right into the snow and chill it. I got a picture I'll show later about how much damn snow they got.
Crazy. By the way, in about 20 minutes, friend of the show and network, and really friend of the betting community.
Yeah.
Frank B., who lives in Puerto Vallarta. I've been chatting with him since yesterday morning to see how everything is going right after all hell broke loose. I'll give you an update on what he has told me. And man, it's some of the videos that he has shared.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Up next.
Right out of a movie.
It really does look. It looks like a war zone out of a movie.
Sicario and whatever. Yeah.
We have to do something about MVPs and big games, the good, the bad, and the ugly, coming up here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN. good.
Pretty good.
I'm feeling pretty good.
The bad.
I've had it with this dump. Got no food. Got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
And the ugly.
First of all, that's horrible.
Wow, that was the worst piece of crap I've ever seen.
As always, love the graphics. First round NHL playoffs always delivers. So does Olympic hockey. And that was awesome on Sunday morning. And then the scene afterwards, great call about the Goudreau family there as well and the kids. But Hellebuck did it. Big game Hellebuck. Can't rip him anymore. The reason they won, 41 saves. Hughes, the star. The epic interview afterwards with NBC, losing his teeth everywhere.
Blood coming out,
and how he nailed it afterwards. And a great call by Jonathan Davis, our hockey guy, who in his write-up and preview said, how about some pizza money on Jack Hughes to score in overtime? The golden goal, 65-1. What a call that was.
Not bad, huh?
Yep, and I finally did it. I gave in, and I know it just, there was like a two-week stretch, and I think it started when we were on vacation, because the show's going on right now, and I believe the season finale is next Sunday. There were so many people just... How are you not watching Industry? You got to watch Industry. Oh, it's so good. It gets better. And it broke me. And I go, finally, it's like, I'm four seasons behind, but there's only eight. I started it, and it's just a show where it's out there. It's wild. But based on Traitors in London and a lot of drug use and a great casting, I think, great characters, I've been staring right at it for years. And to think... You go back and almost like, what the hell was I doing? How did I not get into this show? And finally, it's I'm halfway done. It's an excellent show, and I'm excited for the finale, season 4, on Sunday on HBO. Thank you to everyone who's recommended Industry. And
wow, so you caught all the way up.
No, I'm still on like season 2. Okay. I got a week to go, but I will get there. But you know, especially thanks to Joe Osborne and people like that who've been pointing out on social media how good the show is every Sunday on HBO. Thank you.
Okay, my good. Well, on that note with the Olympic hockey, I just have a weird feeling that the goal by Matt Boldy is going to get lost.
Oh, no doubt.
And it can't.
No one's talking about
that's
it.
That's a 10 out of 10 goal.
Yeah.
What he had to do, again, to split the two defenders. He bounces a puck up to himself. He then catches it with the stick.
Yeah.
And then just like the skating and the overall puck handling and to get it by... Binnington to give them a 1-0 lead. And I know Eddie O came on Friday. He said, guys, I think 5-3-6-4. It was the exact opposite. Goals were at a total premium here. And to get USA on the board first.
Plenty of chances.
But. And for sure. But then all of the PKs that came in on both sides throughout. And I will say this. I was trying to get down betting line. I never had one bet on the game. So I waited until like in-play stuff. And once they would go to the box on either side, I'm telling you, books took off prices for minutes at a time. Had no chance to get involved at all. Like, is there going to be a goal?
Well, you got to do it, I think, when it's a 5-on-3. I mean, you have to take the game off the board, I think.
Yeah, well, even when it was 5-on-4.
It was off the board?
I mean, for minutes at a time.
Oh, that's... Wow.
Yeah. Okay, my bad. This really bothers me, and there needs to be, like, an overall commissioner of sports that steps in. I don't know who that would ever be. But I'm talking about over every sport that says enough of the crap with MVPs in big games. Before I get to the biggest point here, let me just run down the numbers here. Connor Hellebuck saved 41 of 42 shots on goal yesterday. The final game, like the gold medal match, has to have more weight than the previous games. I mean, let's use our brains about this here for a second. That's the new Olympic record for most saves by a goalie in a single men's gold medal match involving NHL players. In the 2026 Olympics, Connor Hellebuck had 5 wins, a .956 save percentage, 1.18 goals against. He scored a point in the gold medal game. In knockout tournament scoring, McDavid had 4 assists. Quinn Hughes had 1 goal, the quarterfinal overtime game-winning goal, 3 assists. Jack Hughes, 3 goals, the golden goal and an assist. Hellebuck had 90 saves, 4 goals allowed, and a .957 save percentage. Clearly, the MVP should have been Connor Hellebuck. But the reason why he wasn't is because votes had to be in. It is my, you know, everybody's understanding at the end of the first period. It's whoever came up with this idea should be eliminated from the planet. It's one of the dumbest. And by the way, people bet on this stuff, obviously, especially this audience, right? Mm-hmm. And so I knew that he had no chance once prediction markets had this a half an hour before it was named. Prediction markets went to McDavid 99%.
Yeah.
I mean, I think before the game was over with.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess we know who won this now. But how do we, like, it's the NFL MVP in the Super Bowl all over again, right? It has to be in before the game's over with. Why? Who cares? Wait till the game's over with. It must be completed before it's announced.
Well done. Well done. Yep. Well, I'm going to call this guy eccentric. He's out there. This was bizarre. We mentioned it Thursday on the show. LaMelo Ball for the Hornets got in a car accident. He's driving a camo Hummer, and whether he was distracted or on his phone, he veered into the other lane and ran into the lady. And he's driving a tank. So here's how he handled it afterwards with, back-to-back questions about my accident. He gets up and leaves. Take it away, LaMelo Ball.
Oh, no, I seen her get straight out the car.
Can you put into words the last 24 hours with you, how it's been emotional for you to have to deal with that and then come here playing games tonight on top of that?
I'm just alive, blessed for him. So God is great, like I said.
All right, guys.
Okay. So the first question was, how did you know or were you sure that the lady was okay that you hit with your tank? Oh, I saw her get out of the car. Okay. And then the next question, the guy's throwing him a bone. But hey, what's like the last 24 hours been like? God's good. I'm blessed. Then he wakes, he gets up to leave, and his ass is hanging out with his shorts. I mean, he was great the other night in the win. But I mean, this is interesting that this curious fellow is your franchise guy.
I know.
Huge with the young people. But that's just, he gets up and leaves after back-to-back questions about the accident, which is your fault.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and his pants are hanging out.
Maybe because it was his fault, the attorneys have said, dude, you're going to get asked about this and you can't say anything. Well, maybe that angle.
Well, how about the second answer, though?
I'm
blessed. God is good.
God is good.
Doesn't even look up at the guy.
No.
Okay. And the ugly, I'm glad Bruce Marshall mentioned this on Friday. Air Force got drubbed again by UNLV. They're 3-24. They're 0-16 in league. They've lost 20 in a row in the Mountain West. The average margin, 28 points per game. All tickets cash the same. You can lay the big number against Air Force.
Yeah.
And incredible timing. The breaking news earlier today at the Spear. Pacquiao against Mayweather. Did you see this? McGregor's planning. You know, he's teasing on X. I'm coming back. But it's like the same thing. I have it in my ugly. Are we really going to get fired up? Number one, he hasn't fought in 5 years. He's 37. Plus, he was on the losing streak.
Oh, yeah.
He kept losing every big fight. Are you really going to buy or get excited for a Conor McGregor fight?
I'm guessing he wants to box, right? Not UFC?
No, UFC.
Oh, it'd be UFC.
This is UFC.
Well, that's even worse.
I know. He said, I'll take a tomato can, whatever. He did have a tweet that my fight is ready to go against a good name. That was deleted. But it's like, it's been 5 years, plus the out of the octagon antics and issues.
Quickly, two things in my ugly. I'll go Lakers here. They were in my bad, but I'll go ugly. Good tweet here from Jovan Bua, who covers the team. They're now 8-4, and they're 12 games with the big three. Their four losses are to the four best teams they've played record-wise, Spurs, Rockets, Celtics, Suns. They've all lost those games by double digits, at least double digits.
That was
not
bad.
Great, man.
No.
And let's show the photo here.
Okay, this was all over social media.
Jayhawk Talk was the first one to post this. Then Danny Cannell tweeted it takes off, and he said, this pick speaks volumes. I was not watching the game, full disclosure, at the time. So when you see that, you're like, oh, man, yeah, they hate that kid. That's not a good look for him. Add that onto whatever else is anti-Darren Peterson. So I text my lifelong Kansas buddy. I'm like, context, please. And he goes, there was a Cincinnati player who was fouled on a breakaway after what should have been a foul on a Darren Peterson dunk attempt at the other end. So that's why he was getting back a little bit late. But it took off like a wildfire overall.
Well, and then Seth Davis retweeted that, hey, no, it was after a free throw. And he's completely wrong. But I can see why it took off, but I also see.
Oh, sure, something like that. You're going to see that right away. Like, oh, my God, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to do something here. Cut the cord with the kid. Anyway, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend.
All right. Excellent.
Are you betting them tonight?
Yep.
I am too. They're in
the streak, you know, after what we saw against Arizona too. You don't want to have the FOMO afterwards, right? Plus, it's if you got embarrassed in your last game.
And I'll tell you what.
And I don't think they're going to lose back-to-back home games.
Neither do I. And I'll say this. Even if, like, Peterson says I can't go tonight 30 minutes before the game, the number's going to go up. I think I'll add more Kansas at that point.
Fair enough.
So I was in communication with a friend of the show and really to the entire gambling community yesterday. The person is stuck in the middle of what's going on in Puerto Vallarta. What a wild story. And his personal kicker to what maybe saved his life yesterday. Next.